Ronaldo makes his second debut and scores a brace for United. Lukaku continues to prove Jarrett wrong. Spurs suffer at Selhurst Park, and Arsenal finally score their first points of the Premier League season. Week 4 is in the books, and 1/10 of the season is behind us. Oh, and the Champions League group stage starts this week. We're down here in the Rat Tail Bunker and Barbershop Studio, and this is the Boys and Bolos Podcast. Welcome back to the Boys and Bolos Podcast. We down here, and it's the end of Week 4 in the Premier League. Week 5 will be beginning soon, and we're actually also going to start the Champions League. Well, we're not going to start it.
You're not playing tomorrow?
I'm not going to lace up my boots and run onto the field, but the games are starting tomorrow.
Group stage. You're going to play with unlaced boots?
I'm going to play barefoot.
Ill-advised.
Yes. Well, there are games happening tomorrow, Champions League games.
I know. It's actually kind of weird. It's happening so fast.
I'm pretty excited.
Are you?
Fans are back in the stadium. The home and away is going to be very impactful, I think, this year.
I feel like this summer didn't exist because we had Nations League with the U.S. Yep. And we had the Gold Cup with the U.S.
And the Euros.
And we had the Euros. And we had the Copa America. And as soon as those ended, there was literally like a week of buffer. And then you had the Super Cup, the Community Shield, and then we're off and running. Because we're done with Week 4 now. We're on to Week 5, which we're going to talk about today. But with Week 4 done, we've done 1/10 of the season already. It's like a lot. It's like, bruh.
I mean, still 10%. There's still 90% to go.
Dude, your math is
I'm just saying like 90%. Like if we were like 30%, I would be a little more jazzed up. But we're still at the like the infancy of the season.
The infancy of the season.
We're not even at the toddler phase yet.
Really?
Toddler would be like 8 games in.
I mean, if it's 38 games long, so what a 38-year-old would be the end. Right now, after Week 4, we're Nora's age, your daughter. She's not a toddler.
I suppose. I don't know. The analogy is not good.
The analogy gets weird.
Either way, it's not the infancy, but it's just a phrase. It's just a saying.
It's just a je ne sais quoi. Anyway, this week was...
Are we going to talk about Premier League or are we going to talk about Champions League?
We're going to talk a little bit about Premier League. I got a request from my co-host to not talk a lot about the SPURS.
If you didn't watch the game and you just looked at the score line, you would have thought it was a drubbing, but they were playing a man down and without some key players. And I don't say that just like offhand. They weren't playing with literally 5 or 6 starters, not either international braked or
international broken.
Yeah, stuck in Croatia because they didn't want to have to quarantine in a hotel back in the UK.
It sounds like a super cool Netflix series called Stuck in Croatia. It's just about Lo Celso, Martinez, and all the other Argentines.
And Romero doing wind sprints in Croatia.
Wind sprints. I'm sure. Yeah, wind sprints.
They're fucking on the
Those
beach.
Those dudes are hitting up pre-rolls. They're on the beach. They're like, yeah, it sucks. We can't go back to England.
Yeah. Although it's nice in England right now. It's nice. Nice weather.
It is.
It's a pleasant time to be in England.
So Spurs lost 3-0. That's the elephant in the room.
Yeah,
but like we already said off mic, you can never look at one. I don't think there's ever been one result in Premier League history that then like put that team on a different trajectory. Even Liverpool's 7-2 loss last year, Aston Villa, they still finished top four. And
Spurs beat them, beat Man United 6-1 or something. I mean, what impact does that have on their season?
Exactly. So like, not one game is ever really going to do anything. And with that, I will say I was wrong. We were both wrong when we said Arsenal was going to lose to Norwich. Arsenal ended up winning. They beat Norwich.
Took them 60-something minutes.
Took them a long time. They should have scored more goals, to be fair.
Yep.
But Norwich still got them behind, so I think that there's still a lot of questions there. But once again, the one game is not going to shape the season. There's still 3 losses and 1 win. We're going to see what happens with Arsenal. Chelsea won 3-0, and the more I hate Romelu Lukaku, the more goals he scores. So he scored 3 goals now in 4 games. Now he's 3-3 games at this point because he didn't play our first game. So,
second coming of Cristiano Ronaldo.
Cristiano Ronaldo scores a tap-in, right place, right time. And then I swear, I was talking to Corey today in the gym. Corey's a Liverpool fan, and we were talking about the second goal. I swear that, I think it was Dubravka in goal for Newcastle. He just saw Cristiano and got like starstruck and got nervous because it wasn't a great shot. He's actually like a pretty good shot stopper.
It was right at him.
It was low and hard at the feet, which forwards you're taught, just like hit it low and hard at the feet, something good will happen. You want to just keep it away from like the hand level. But honestly, good on him. He scores a goal.
Green, a great, great pass from Luke Shaw.
Oh, Luke Shaw is balling.
Balling.
Dad bod starting 11.
He's the best left back in the league.
Best left back in the league right now. Yes. And all last season, I'd say. I think he was probably in the starting 11 all last season, right?
I mean, between him and who? I don't even know, right?
It depends. It depends what the city, it depends what like Cancelo is doing. It depends right. what Robertson's doing.
Depends
who Chelsea's putting in the back there.
Yeah, if you're putting, it depends if Chilwell's on form. I actually think Chilwell's really good. I don't know what's wrong with him right now. Something's going on with him. We can talk about that later, but.
Something's going on. But
yep.
The ball from Luke Shaw to Ronaldo was great. Ronaldo's first touch takes it from his right, brings it across his body. Now it's on his left. And I still felt like he had a lot to do, and I didn't know if he had the pace. But he's just not lost a lot of pace. And he's lost, obviously, a lot of pace from when he was here and he was 17 or 18 and 19 and, like, diddling guys on the side. But he still has an ability to be so lethal. And Gary Neville was saying that he thinks with Ronaldo, maybe now they're title contenders. And I feel the same way. Is that a weird sentiment? Do you feel the same way?
I mean, we picked him to finish second. They added a piece.
Gary Neville, I mean, and...
It's a lot. They're a lot better. I mean, Gary Neville's a United fan.
Yeah, I mean, Gary
Neville. Come on, you got to take everything with Gary Neville.
It's a biased opinion. But Gary Neville said that he doesn't think he has seen the Premier League this competitive ever. Because you have a City team, which is a beast. You have a Chelsea team, which is a beast off the Champions League, and they just look good. You have a United team that was really quite stacked and was going to be competitive probably in the top three, and then you add on Cristiano Ronaldo. And then you have a Liverpool team, which out of all those teams may actually play the best together.
But the most, the of all of those three or four teams you mentioned, the thinnest.
The thinnest when it comes to bench depth. Because City basically has two teams, Chelsea has two teams, and United basically have two teams. Liverpool, you know, they just lost Elliott. Obviously,
they're also
we can
a
talk
different,
about that.
They're also run a lot different. They're also not run like Chelsea, City, or United in the sense that the Fenway Sports Group is a money in, money out team. They balance the books every year. They don't spend. I mean, look at this past transfer market. They spent like maybe $40 million on one player. They basically have the same team. They'll bring in one piece, two pieces, try to get people. You know, they might do something in the January transfer window. But they basically spent $100 million, $120 million pounds back in 2018, 2019. And they're kind of riding that wave right now. And it got them they won a Champions League, obviously. They won a league title. Now they're kind of like trying to bring up some players now through their academy. They're trying to, you know, they're going to phase out the Henderson. They're going to phase out Robertson, maybe. They're going to phase out Firmino.
You think they're going to phase out Robertson?
They may.
Okay.
But they're going to phase out Firmino. They're going to phase out to bring in Jota, obviously. So they have a plan. They obviously have a plan, and they may splash more cash next transfer window. So I think that they're a little thinner, but they're actually like, they know they kind of can't compete for the title per se. They may make a deep run in the Champions League, but they know that right now that they can continue to make the Champions League for next season, probably. I mean,
yeah,
they have a very good
sure.
chance.
For sure.
Bring in cash, make it pretty far in the Champions League, past the group stage, maybe into like round of 16, maybe round of 8, get more money.
So you're saying that their summer transfer austerity is a strategy.
It's 100%
part
strategy.
Of a larger.
It's a, oh, they have a plan.
Con the long con.
It's a plan. They have a plan. It's because they're not run by an oil club. They're not an oil club, for better or for worse. However you may look at that, they're not just gonna go and try to find the $100 million player,
the Mbappe, the Holland.
Yeah, they're not. They're just not gonna do that. I mean, they've been linked to Jude Bellingham. I think that's like their big link. I think they may sign
in January.
Yeah.
He's super nice.
Yeah. And so they bring in a young piece like that. And, you know, once again, they're continuing to build. They have Jota, they have Bellingham, they still have Salah, they still have Mane.
So Mane this weekend looked like old Mane. I think in the game he probably should have had 4 goals. And that's not hyperbole. He just had so many chances, and he kept getting himself in the right place, and he just couldn't. The final quality wasn't there, But it was good to see Mane up and playing well. And one of the questions I have for you is, if you, in your starting 11, it's Mane, Salah, and then who's the person? Do you have Jota or do you have Firmino? If Jota. They're both healthy.
Jota.
Okay, and why Jota over for Firmino?
It looked like Bobby has lacked a little killer instinct, cutting edge, however you want to say it. And I think Jota finds himself in better places in the final third. Because that's what you want. You want your center forward, basically what he plays. He doesn't, I wouldn't call him a nine per se. It's more of a false nine. They play a pretty much a flat, like a, almost like a flat three up front. And it, as opposed to like, you know, in at Spurs, you know, Kane is the number nine, you know. Firmino isn't that type of player. So, I don't know, he doesn't, Firmino just seems to lack that little bit of
je ne sais quoi. Exactly.
But Jota seems to have, just to be a little quicker, a little more hungry. Finishing has been a little bit better lately.
I'm interested to see what happens as we go into the season and we have bigger games for Liverpool against top four teams, top five teams, you know, competitive teams in the Premier League, or and then obviously into the Champions League, because I think depending upon the opponent, you may play Firmino or you may play Jota. Jota's obviously, I think, a little bit more direct. Bobby may have better hold-up play and may serve a different purpose against a three-back or a four-back, you know. So I don't know. I think Klopp has a really good problem on his hands because he's got four guys who are pretty good at scoring goals and causing problems.
You can't play both of them all the time anyway because you got Champions League, League Cup, FA Cup, and the league. So it'll be telling to see kind of what he goes with his Champions League lineup this week. And then we'll go from there. We'll kind of know what to expect on Premier League days. Salah is going to be a lock for me for Champions League. I think Mane too. I think really Firmino and Jota are the interchangeable questions for those games.
We talked earlier too about the Everton game. As a Chelsea fan, I never like playing Everton, especially when it's at Goodison Park. Because sometimes I just don't think we get up for the game. Whereas if we're like going to Anfield, maybe we have to mentally prepare. I don't know. Sometimes it's been hard over the years to play at Goodison, harder than maybe I'd like. But seeing them go down a goal to Burnley and then scoring three goals in a rebuttal in about 6 to 7 minutes was awesome. And we talked about that Townsend goal, which looked very similar to Townsend's goal that he scored about 2 or 3 years ago with Crystal Palace when he hit a volley at the end of the game to win it, which was like another worldie. I'm interested to see what this Everton team does because preseason, I'll be fair, I don't even think I put them in the top 10, but now I'm starting to see 9th or 10th. I'm really excited to see the Everton-Arsenal game, I guess is what I'm saying, because I think they're almost on the same footing right now for quality.
Yeah, I just don't know if it's one of those things where, and I could be completely wrong with Everton, I don't know much about Townsend's form or like if he can repeat that week in, week out. You know, that's my question, right? Can Gray and Townsend perform on a high level week in, week out?
I think Gray may be able to. Maybe. Townsend's getting old.
The guy, most of his Premier League goals, I think like 10 of his 25 Premier League goals or some crazy statistics, 9 of 23, have been outside the box worldies, right? So, like, that's kind of telling, you know? Like, the guy will score once in a while. He's not, like, a repeat.
If all your goals are from outside, you're kind of like Ruben Neves. Because Ruben Neves, if you go look on YouTube and type in Ruben Neves worldie, he has, like, top 10, and they're, like, 30 yards out. But it's kind of like if you point for the fences, aim for the fences all the time, you're going to strike out a lot.
Right. If you score 6 or 7 worldies, not the only goals you score in a season, how much – I mean, if they're key goals and they win you a 1-0 game, great. But realistically – it's not, you need to bang in like 12 to 15 goals if you're contributing
to be a difference
high
maker.
Level, to be a, you know. So that's my question with Everton. And I don't know if that's because like they're not getting, James is out the door, right? Like Gray,
it seems like he's out the
Allen,
door.
I don't know all these players can repeat. Like it just seems like Richarlison doesn't want to be there anymore. He wants to leave January. It'll be a question mark if he even makes it the full season. There's talk about him leaving to go to PSG or Real Madrid. And these are all things that, I mean, I think Calvert-Lewin is there for a while, right? And he's young, but Everton's that question mark for me, right?
That's what I'm saying. I don't. It's that's like, why I don't like playing them, because I don't know. I don't like playing things where I don't understand what team I'm going to play against.
Yeah, it's
when
like
I play against City,
team.
I know we may not have the ball. They may have more of the ball than we do, and we're comfortable with that, so we'll let it happen. When we play against Liverpool, we know their top three are great. We can't leave any counterattacks alone. Set pieces, you got to be certain about it. There's just certain things, and this team is one that I can't like. You could look at me right now, gun to my head. I'm like, maybe they finish highest. Like for me, highest they finish is eighth, but they could also finish 12th. I think they're somewhere in there. I don't know. I'm just interested to see what happens because they looked very nice after they went down, and not all teams kind of bounce back.
You know what
back.
It is for me? I think it's like I know who the top five are going to be, pretty
you
much.
You just don't know what the order is.
I know what the top five are going to be like of this league, pretty much a lock. I don't know what that order is going to be exactly, but I kind of know those teams. And then everybody else is just kind of a jumble in my mind.
So who are the top five? They're the four teams we mentioned earlier: Liverpool, Man U, Man City, Chelsea.
Leicester.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Leicester looks...
They're solid.
Leicester's just solid.
They're just solid, and they're not going to like... They're going to be consistent just like they were last season. They may fuck up at the end, and they may not get fourth, but they'll probably be fifth or sixth. They're not going to fuck up. And then you got Spurs. Are they going to be the Spurs from week one and week two, or are they going to be the Spurs from last week and against Wolves, right? The whole season. And it's going to be a fluctuation of somewhere in that range, and it's going to get them wins, and it's going to get them losses. It's going to put them into sixth or seventh.
Yeah, they're all going to revert back to their mean.
Right. It's
and that's what I'm saying. For me, when I look at this average team, I don't know what the mean is.
Yeah.
Because
is it eighth or is it 12th? Right. And that's a big range.
It's a pretty big range.
Yeah.
And I look at this team and I look at it on paper. I'm like, it's pretty strong. Mm. You got Gray, Richarlison, and Townsend up top. They're playing a 3-4-3. Digne, Alan, Decore, Coleman, Keane, Godfrey, and Mina. They have a system. They know what they're doing. Rafael Benitez, as much shit as most people give him, he also knows what he's doing. He is a seasoned pro as a coach. And they got Jordan Pickford, the English goalie, in net, who's no slouch. So
I think their biggest weakness is Godfrey and Keane, even though Keane scored.
And Mina. Mina's
a big guy that can defend set pieces, though. I mean, he's tall.
He can also score on set pieces.
So I understand why Mina plays. I think Godfrey and Keane are a big problem, and especially because they're playing the 3-5-3. It's 3-4-3. Yeah. Sorry.
If they're playing a 3-5-3, they should win a lot of games.
Yeah, geez.
They have an extra math player.
Anyway, 3-4-3, and I just don't know about Townsend either. Townsend could end up with, an injury.
If Townsend scores 10 goals, that's a big deal for him, to be honest.
That would be insane. Because the guy's only scored 23 goals in the Premier League.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He'd be overachieving. So I think around 5 goals in the Premier League and 3 or 4 assists, and that's good.
But you're also playing a Burnley team that's not good.
Well, I was going to get to that final point that I think maybe I'll be 1 out of 3 on my picks. I think this Burnley team, Sean Dyche, download LinkedIn Premium, my G. You are going back to the championship.
Yeah, and you... Championship. I mean, they're not going to fire him because they love him there. And he'll coach in the championship. He's not going to leave to, you know what I'm saying? So... Yeah, but he's one of your picks. That team is one of your picks for...
I picked Burnley to go down.
Go down.
I also picked Newcastle, which is a rough pick.
They made zero transfer market movements. And I think that is... In a transfer market where there was a lot of movement, where teams got either upgrading a defense or upgrading offense, they did zilch.
In a league where... No, not just the league. In world football... At the end of the season, you'll be able to basically line up the 1 through 20 with the 1 through 20 spending. And it will be off by a couple. There'll be a couple things, but... A
couple overachievers.
A couple overachievers, a couple underachievers. But most everybody's going to revert to their mean and just achieve. Mm-hmm. And at that, it just has to do with the money. And I'm looking at the bottom right now. So I said Newcastle and Burnley were going to go down. I think I picked Brighton Hove, and they're low-key 6. So I need them to revert to their mean. But Newcastle and Burnley... look like they're going to be in the struggle. Norwich for sure is going to be in the struggle. And it's unfortunate because in that Arsenal game, they did some nice things going forward. They got in behind, mm-hmm. which once again, # Ben White, but they still got in behind.
They lack a midfielder. I love Billy Gilmore. Love the little English boy running around the field.
He's not English.
Oh, whatever he is.
He's Scottish.
Scottish. Damn it. He's British at least.
There's a movie about that. You should watch it.
Not you mean a movie about not being British.
No, a movie Scottish. About the difference between Scots and Brits.
Oh, right here.
It features, I'm pretty sure, an Australian.
I get it. Guy. Australian.
It's a weird vibe.
Also, that took place in like the Middle Ages.
Yes, okay. That did.
That was a long time ago, sir.
Yes, this is European history, my friend.
Yes.
Not U.S. history, which is like, yeah, 20 years ago, guy, we came here. Now it's me. You, get out. AKA, I just told you what happened in Gangs in New York, so no one needs to watch it now.
It's a 4-hour movie.
It's
anyway.
A Scorsese flick, basically.
It's 4 hours of lots of talking.
Basically, Ambien for your soul.
Bottom line is that Norwich team is missing a certain midfielder.
Okay, you just called them Morwich.
Morwich.
That is their new name. They Morwich. Are more. It's Morwich.
Morwich.
Which is a mix of Turf Moor.
I think
and
it was
Norwich.
More of just like a nasally thing that happened with me there.
Oh.
Yeah, so I think Norwich.
Anyways, Norwich.
They're missing Skip. They're missing a midfielder, and that's the big problem with Norwich.
They're missing.
And Josh Sargent's not going to get it done, unfortunately.
Josh Sargent. Let's move on. I don't want to go down those dark paths. So let's do.
Shout out to U.S. Men's National Team. They did win a game.
They did.
Over the national break.
Pepe basically saved Greg Berhalter's job. Alex Yabko is asking that we do a men's team, a U.S. men team pod. So I think on the next international break, we'll do a pod when it's like. You know,
let's remind our listeners when that is, because it's coming up quicker than I'd hoped.
I think it's early November.
Yeah.
So
it breaks my brain.
No.
Is there an October one?
Early October.
Oh, my God. Mid-October. I think you're right.
Anyways, let's preview the games for the upcoming week super quick. And then let's dive right in and give Champions League about 10 minutes. Does that sound good?
Sure.
You don't really have a choice. So I hope
it wasn't a choice.
Good.
That was more of your telling.
Okay, Newcastle versus Leeds, Friday.
Leeds on the bounce back, 2-0.
Totally agree. Wolves, Brentford, Saturday morning.
This is
going to
be a good match. I'm hoping Brentford get the win, but I think it's at Wolves, right?
It's at Molineux.
Yeah. It's not like, well, yeah. Molineux's hard to play at, I guess.
I got Wolves, for sure.
No.
Dude, they're brutal at Molineux, bro.
I don't know if they're brutal at Molineux.
Wolves is a
they're
team.
They're a team that plays at Guelph at home.
I got Wolves 1-0.
Okay. I got Brentford 2-1.
Fair. Liverpool, Crystal Palace. At Anfield.
Oh, my God. The people who think that Crystal Palace are going to, like, fucking storm the table after beating Tottenham are going to be sorely disappointed when Liverpool smash them. Smash. I'm saying 3-1.
I'm going 2-0, so same difference.
Same difference.
Manchester City, Southampton. This is at the Etihad.
3-1, City.
Norwich, Watford. This is up there for game of the week, boy.
Pull out your wooden bats.
Get out your 16-inch wooden bats.
This is the promotion. Newly promoted sides having at it.
Both these teams are literally going to go through. They're going to go for throat punches because they both need 3 points. When you play another person who's trying to avoid the wooden spoon, you got to go for throat punches.
I'm going to go Watford 1-0.
Oh, I love to see it. I agree. Watford 1-0. Because I also like to know by Christmas who's getting relegated. It just
ticks the edge off.
Ticks the edge off. Yeah. It's like a Bloody Mary at
9 a.m. I still like knowing who that third team is about to get relegated. That adds some drama. But the bottom two can stay the bottom two.
I like sludge. I like a good level of sludge.
Because then they know and they're just trying to be spoilers at that point.
Exactly. Ooh, the next one, Burnley-Arsenal.
I actually think Burnley could pull this one out 1-0.
Let's look at where it is.
I mean, they did
it's
score against
Turf Moor. Come on down.
Come on down for your
turf.
For your and a helping
suburban
of
lawn.
Ankle crunch.
I'm going to go 1-1.
Oh, okay. Tie. I forgot about ties.
So I'm going to go with a tie. Yeah, you forgot about ties. I'm going to go with a tie. If Arsenal lose this game, I mean, the thing is, Arteta's just, for me, walking on the thinnest of ice.
They only beat Norwich 1-0.
They beat Norwich 1-0. And if you watch that goal, it was like, it was like watching, I don't know, U12 soccer. Like, they didn't really know what they were doing. It, bobbled around a bunch of times, and then it was a tap-in.
Poked it in. Yeah.
Yeah, so... But that's not to say that Arsenal shouldn't have scored on many other nicer setups, but that's where they scored. If they tie here...
Honestly, Burnley's a better defending team than Norwich.
Yes. If they tie here, if Arsenal tie at Turf Moor, they will have taken 4 points out of a possible 15. And I just think the board has got to start to be like, you know, how far do we let it slip?
What if they lose?
That's what I'm saying. If they lose, they've taken 3 out of 15. They've left 80% of possible points on the table in the first five games. And that will be their worst start historically.
With zero injuries. A key signing in Ben White. Odegaard. The second coming of Jesus, Maitland Niles. According to Arsenal fans. Aubameyang, quote unquote, on form. And
what is? I feel like that's like a oxymoron. Aubameyang on form now.
I don't know.
You know, it's like
I don't think Arsenal fans really took much. I didn't see a lot of like chatter about how great they were after that win.
No. Arsenal fans are quiet for it.
They've been quiet.
They'll
pipe up after like maybe two more wins.
The trolls come out of the cave though. At times,
they do. Not because they won, but because Spurs lost.
Yeah, because Spurs lost.
North London, I think North London is back.
You know who you are, John Scheimer.
Yeah,
the trolls. All right, I'm gonna go 1-1. You're going. What are you saying?
I'm gonna say Burnley's gonna win 1-0.
Okay, Aston Villa Everton. This is going to be potentially for me game of the week. I think they're both teams with talent. Mm. I think they're both well coached. I think they both work hard. But
I get Everton in this game.
I got Everton too. I got Everton 2-1.
I've left my Everton hate
last season.
Last season.
That's cute. 2-1.
No. I'm going to say they're going to come out, spank them. 3-0.
Geesh. A back-to-back Villa.
No, I don't think Villa's very good.
I don't think they are. They got Ollie Watkins. That's about the only thing that moves the needle. That's a lie. Martinez might be back in goal, which would be a difference.
Yeah, he'll be eligible. I don't know if he'll... I mean, he's a goalie, so he can play.
He can probably play.
Yeah.
Sunday, we got early Brighton versus Leicester. This is an interesting one because, like, my mind says Leicester should win this game, but Brighton is playing well. They're in good form. I'm going to go with a 1-1 tie on this one as well.
I mean, Brighton still only have 5 goals total.
It's true.
3 against.
It's true.
3 against. So they're not... They're decent. I would say that Leicester still, I mean, they only have 4 goals. So what am I saying? I don't know. It's pretty even. I look a pretty even game.
I think a 1-1 tie seems reasonable, Jeffrey.
Okay. I'll agree.
Solid. Never agrees. The next game, West Ham versus Man U, a.k.a. the ghost of Christmas future, a.k.a. Jesse Lingard goes home to see Bob Cratchit and Tiny Tim. That's a really weird thing.
True though.
But seriously, he's going to go there, and he's going to be sitting on the bench and not playing when he could have been playing for West Ham.
But also that he wants to be at United because West Ham.
I know.
He knows what could happen at West Ham.
Yeah, but he wanted to be at United when he thought he was probably going to get a lot of playing time because he was a baller. Missed out on the summer tournament, which I still think he should have gone with England because I think he's a baller.
And he's now on the England squad.
Now he's on the England squad, and then they sign Cristiano Ronaldo. For many people, a goat. So Jesse Lingard is basically downloading like Sudoku apps because he's sitting on the pine.
Although
for a while.
He did score 92nd minute goal.
He did. He's got the 92nd. Yeah, he'll take that with him.
Take it with him.
Put it on his stats. It actually really helps his goals per minute ratio if he just comes off the bench and bags a couple.
Can Ronaldo play every game, every minute of the season? No. Does United want Ronaldo fresh for Champions League? Yes. Therefore, maybe, bing, bang, boom, Lingard gets more minutes, comes on at the 60th minute, maybe not the 85th minute. I'm just saying, it could happen. He could bang in a brace against West Ham.
What's your score? It's at West Ham.
Oh, God. This is going to be a Manchester United smackdown for the ages.
I think you're not giving West Ham enough respect.
I definitely not.
For sure not.
Did they have Europa League this week? They definitely do on Thursday, I'm pretty sure.
I think they must.
They're gonna have a big dose of reality, having to play a group stage game away potentially.
I'm gonna go United 2-1.
Away?
I have no idea.
They're not home. There's no way it's a home game.
2-1 United.
3-0 United. I'm going bold predictions this week.
Oh, I'm excited because the last game this week is Jeffrey's team versus my team.
Mm.
This will be a learning experience for everyone involved.
It will be.
Is it at the Bridge? It is at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. That helps you guys out a lot. Do you have Son back?
I'm thinking 80% chance. Calf injury.
Geesh.
The best part is we don't know if Dyer will be back, but he has a quote-unquote dead leg. That's his injury. Dead leg.
Is he a part-time pirate?
Can you imagine? That must be like the worst dead leg I've like ever in
yeah,
existence.
I didn't know he took buckshot in his upper thigh.
I mean, it was a pretty gnarly like smack to the leg, but it didn't look like a twist. It just looked like a hit really hard and he couldn't move his leg.
What's your score prediction?
Oh, here? I mean, Tottenham are going to lose, but it's not going to be like a smack.
I think Chelsea win 2-0.
Yeah, maybe 2-0, 2-1.
I would like to see if it's a one. I would like to see Harry Kane score. If he doesn't start to score, Tottenham slide. Because of the way the table is so tight, you guys could go from first to like 10th if you lose and other things happen. And it won't be indicative of your form. It's just the table is just so tight right now. And, you know, it sucks. You guys lose a game to Crystal Palace. It happens. You go from first to fifth. That sucks.
Oh, I don't put any stock in like positioning right now. I was joking around about them being top of the table because it's so early. Like,
I mean, the August Premier
League champions.
Champion titles sitting around here somewhere.
I mean, you know, did win manager of the month.
All right. Do you say 2-0? Do you agree with that?
No. I say they got a goal in them. So I'm going to, because they're at home. Not if they were at the Bridge, I'd agree. But they got a goal in them, 2-1. Because Son's going to play. Romero's back. Lo Celso will be on the bench. They'll have three or four of their players from last game. They won't have Tanganga, but they'll have Sanchez back too. So I think Dyer and Sanchez will play. I think you got Royal playing. You got Reguilon. It's not like a bad team. I just don't think they have a lot like moving forward. They don't have a creative midfielder. So, you know.
I think it's going to be a good game. I think Chelsea will win. I'm not exactly sure how. 2-0 seems right. Let's go.
I mean, they handled City. I mean, City had – they'll let Chelsea have a bunch of possession. I just think that Chelsea's – unlike last season, has a lot better finishing than they did. Like, I would say last year would be a 0-0 tie or a 1-1 tie. This year,
as it was. Last year was a 0-0. It was horrible.
It was horrible. It was eye gouging. But this year, like, I think Chelsea has the ability to put one away, either Lukaku or Havertz, you know?
Let's just look at Champions League. We're just going to focus on
Premier League.
Premier League teams. And if you
if you're watching, if you're looking at the schedule, the Sevilla Red Bull Leipzig game should be good because it's pretty evenly matched, and the Villarreal Atalanta game should be pretty evenly matched. Those two games are worth watching. Flick back and forth.
Agreed.
I think those are solid. Four solid teams. Although Red Bull Leipzig did lose Sabitzer, but neither here nor there.
So Manchester United play BSC Young Boys from Switzerland.
I think that's an easy matchup.
I think United are going to win by
Young Boys
many goals.
Had to play in a playoff to get into that spot. So
I think United win by 4 goals.
I don't think it's going to be 4. I think it'll be 3 because they don't have to start. Like, they're going to play some scrubs. It's going to be scrub zone.
We'll see.
You think Wan-Bissaka is going to play?
I can't tell if you think he's good or he's a scrub.
Wan-Bissaka.
Do you think he's good or is he a scrub?
Well, he's good according to OGS.
Oh my God.
So he's not gonna play.
I didn't know what OGS was. I thought it was like a new GPS for soccer talent, and then I realized what it was and I hated myself.
Well, all right. So who are they gonna start at right back?
I don't know. Let's fly through.
Chelsea, that's the only other game. Oh, you're talking about the games on Wednesday too. Okay.
So yeah, I'm talking about okay. So okay, we agree that United will probably win this game.
Yes.
Then Chelsea plays Zenit. Chelsea will win. It's at the Bridge. I think that's
Zenit's one of those bubble teams too that barely made it in.
Then let's go
I think I'm hurting a lot of Zenit fans' feelings, but
we don't probably right. have a lot
probably
of people listening in.
Probably
from,
don't even know what Zenit is.
Exactly. Then we have Wednesday, Manchester versus Leipzig. I think. You know,
oh, wait, did I say Manchester versus? What did I say against? Who is playing? Is it Red Bull Salzburg?
Red Bull Salzburg, yeah.
Who is playing Red Bull Salzburg?
Sevilla.
Okay, you said Leipzig.
Yeah. No. Sevilla's playing Salzburg.
Oh, then that's I think Sevilla might win that game. Either way, that's probably still evenly matched.
City
game.
Are playing Red Bull Leipzig.
That should be a good game. Should be a good game. It's a good matchup.
It is a good matchup.
I think Leipzig might be able to do something on the counterattack, but it's going to be a possession City type of game.
City are at home. I think that's good.
Oh, yeah. Still, City at home. I saw a funny thing on the internet that you
on
can
the
get
internet?
On the internet.
It wasn't like...
It might have been Twitter or like, and I don't want to name the wrong social media platform, but either way, I saw it was like a screenshot of the seating chart of the Etihad, and every single area in the seating chart had tickets available for the Champions League game. That's telling about your fan base. You can't even sell out your stadium. That's brutal. It's tough. In Manchester, which is a big city. That means Manchester is red right now.
Manchester may have always been red.
Yeah, that's true. That's probably true.
Liverpool, Milan. That's going to be a cool game because Zlatan's playing.
Yeah, I mean, I love this. It's at Anfield. See that 38-year-old man beast running. 39-year-old man beast run around.
He had knee surgery like 100 days ago.
He scored his goal. He scored a goal in his return back.
So this is at Anfield. This is going to be the game.
Liverpool should win this game.
Liverpool should win this game.
On paper, they're winning this game. At home. Anfield's a fortress, right?
Yes.
Not lately, but kind of.
And you know what I've decided? We are not going to look at the Europa League games because...
Don't care.
I don't care right now.
Don't care.
I feel like this pod's already like 6 hours long.
This pod's not that long. It's only been a half an hour.
Are you sure?
I'm not timing it. I'm not looking at my watch.
You don't have your Fitbit
fucking
running?
Father Time isn't down here like...
Father Time.
Looking at us like with a fucking watch out. Checking his fucking timepiece, dude.
What does Father Time look like?
He's an old man with a grizzly beard.
No,
gray beard.
You misconstrue him. He is Mike Dean. Mike Dean just sitting there like, come on, mates, let's go here.
Oh, God. Either way, Champions League starts. Games are Tuesday and Wednesday. Renew your Paramount Plus subscriptions. Then we got...
One last thing we're going to look at.
No.
Dude, we're going to look at fantasy. Oh, you must be sucking at fantasy if you don't want to look at...
I'm not even setting my lineup anymore.
Oh, my God. What is wrong with you, dude?
I quit.
What do you mean you quit? Where are you? I can't even see your team. Did you delete your... Oh, no, you're in 15th.
Yeah, I'm way down there.
15th out of 18th. I mean, we're all doing okay. Jamie Becker's winning, then Mitch, then Nick. Those are the top three. And where's Oz? Oz is in 8th. Oz is only 11 points ahead of me. Yeesh. As long as Oz doesn't win, that's it. I don't want to give $50 to Oz. Oz, if you're listening to this, nothing personal. It's just we can't have back-to-back winners. It makes us look weak.
And also, I also want to like see what kind of swag the top place winner wants to get too.
That's true. Eventually, Oz is just gonna have so much boys and bola swag. It's gonna like kind of ridiculous.
Yeah,
it's like a trophy.
I also
case.
Like kind of look forward to making another bolo. If anybody might have followed our Instagram, seen my my Twitter, I don't know, seen my social media.
I like how you're like, if anybody's listening to this, cares.
If anybody's out there.
Hello?
I'm just showing the picture now just to anyone on the streets.
Hey, I make bolos. You want bolos, one? People are like, back up. You're not wearing a mask.
I made a Spurs bolo with a nice like old school Spurs keychain. I made a bolo.
Oh, it's sick.
I wore it to a wedding. Didn't take it off the entire wedding.
Okay, so you remember how we called out Diego? We're like, Diego, if you want your boys and bolos bolo, custom bolo, you have to let us know by Friday. He never let us know, so Diego doesn't listen to the pod.
No, but he did listen to the last week's pod because he mentioned something that was very pod specific, and he texted me about it.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
But he never reached out when we said...
He didn't listen to that episode.
Anyways, if you're listening to this episode now and you want your own personalized Boys and Bolo you can reach out. We will customize it, and then we will send you an invoice for 1,000 Doge.
1,000 Doge. That might be a deal.
Due on invoice.
You do the math.
You do the math. 1,000 Doge is...
$300?
Yeah, about 300.
Okay. I'm not going to charge somebody $300. Dude, I have the materials already.
It's vegan leather.
Here is the proposition for our listeners with a bolo, okay? This is a real proposition. I'm being really serious right now.
Oh, you're being serious?
A really serious offer for our listeners, okay?
I have an offer if this isn't good.
Okay. You provide me the keychain, badge, whatever you want that fits into a little, like, I'm going to say 1 by 1 inch by 1.5 inch area. I will personally customize that bolo. You just pay for the postage back to you.
I'll go one further. I'll reimburse their postage if they share it on social media.
Boom.
Boom. You basically got a free bolo.
You get a free bolo if you provide me with the pendant, basically, for the middle of the bolo. Because the way my bolo making materials work is it's just like a raw thing, and I have to like... I think it's like JB welded.
It's a raw thing.
It's some raw metal.
Jagged edges.
Raw ore.
Exactly. Yeah. It's ore.
But I still have a bunch of material that I can easily make.
I'm really hoping someone says, here, Jeff, I'm going to send you this Man United keychain. Can I get a bolo back? Because we will send you back a bolo.
I'll send you back a bolo.
And I will pay for the postage, reimburse. I will reimburse you for the postage.
That is quite
if you share it on social media.
So my labor, Jarrett's postage money. That's a Boys and Bolos offer of the century, I think.
I think it's our first offer, therefore it's our best offer.
Our best, first and best.
First and best.
And last.
I was going to say, potentially last. All of a sudden we start getting all these bolos in from like, who knows where.
I'll be happy. Look, that would be quite the thing. If like we become, fuck the podcast. If we just become bolo guys.
Dude, if
like,
we become
we make like Premier League bolos.
Some hipster bolo. People like show up to the
we're like
the jewelry, pubs
we're suddenly then, like jewelry guys.
Yeah, like Jacob the Jeweler. You know how he like blinged out all the rappers?
Yeah,
and they come in
like,
his store.
We're they, for like all the
people
Premier
come over.
They're
like, yeah, can I get a bigger bolo? I wonder if Flavor Flav, is he alive?
Oh, yeah.
I wonder if Flavor Flav listens to the pod, because then we could have a huge
clock bolo.
Bolo. And it's just massive.
Yeah, I mean, I can JB Weld fuck anything to a bolo.
Yeah.
That shit's strong.
If you want a gold bullion
dude,
bar, we'll put it
all,
on.
First of all, we get a JB Weld sponsorship. We'll tag JB Weld.
Okay,
in
JB Weld sponsorship would be ridiculous. People are like, how do you have a JB Weld sponsorship? Like, let me tell you about our bolo business.
This pod is brought to you by JB Weld. If it attaches our bolos, but also can fix just about anything in your house. Like steel, baby.
All right, we're wrapping this up.
That's it. Offers out there. We laugh, but I am quite serious about
this.
I'm
very serious, too.
I got all the materials. I got the skills. You check out the Instagram. Maybe after this pod, we'll put up a picture of the bolo.
Oh, yeah. We'll put it up right now. Well, I'll put up a picture of both bolos right now. Go to our Instagram. Check it out.
All right. Well, Jarrett, until next time.
Until next time, man.
All right. Ciao.
Ciao.
I don't think I've seen in Premier League history four teams as good as the top four that we've got at this moment. And I don't think we've seen the Premier League as good as we've seen at this moment in terms of quality. We could have the four best teams in the whole of the world at this moment in time in Chelsea, United, City and Liverpool. Liverpool's first 11 yesterday, if they can keep that fit, is still probably the best 11 in the Premier League. That 11 that Liverpool, and Liverpool aren't even being talked about at the moment. Liverpool's squad isn't
you
as deep.
You said you were worried about Liverpool
no,
last
I just,
week.
Worried about them?
Yeah.
But worried about them in the sense of what they've achieved in the previous few years of getting back to that level. Yeah, I am. I don't think they will, because I don't think the squad depth is enough. That starting 11 is still exceptional. There's no doubt about that. I've no doubts. I've never had any doubts about that. City's team is exceptional. Chelsea are strong, like you wouldn't believe. And Manchester United, with the introduction of Ronaldo, Sancho and Varane, are going to be right and in there amongst it. We've never had really a true title race of four teams. This could be a massive ding-dong this season.
Thanks for listening to the Boys and Bolos podcast. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Patreon, Twitch, at Boys and Bolos.
If you'd like to be a guest, please reach out. You can hit us on any of the social media accounts that Jeff just mentioned, or email us directly at boysandbolos@gmail.com.
Thanks for listening, and see you next time.